Good morning. Is anyone there?
I am. This is Margaret Beebe Frankenberger.
Hi, this is John Lasser at Texas State University. How are you?
Hi, John. Fine.
My student Stephanie Beals is sitting in with me as well.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm up at the University of Montana, and it's a beautiful day here.
Bet it is.
Is it cold or warm up there?
No, it's typical of this time of year. It'll be in the low 60s, but it's bright and beautiful in the spring. Sounds like somebody else just came in, too.
Good morning. This is Kay Bicey in Seattle.
Hi, Kay. This is Margaret Beebe Frankenberger in Montana.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
I'm John Lasser in Texas.
Hello, John.
And Stephanie Belt in Texas also.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay.
So is it a hot day in Texas then?
It's kind of overcast, but it's supposed to go all the way up to 90, so.
Wow.
So a little bit different than Montana's weather.
Yeah, we have a few more months before that happens, if it does.
Too often either.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Listen, I needed to be added, and somehow I forgot to do the right thing. Hello.
Hi, Ina.
Hi. Who is this?
Well, this is Dave Schreiber, but I think you're in.
Oh, yeah, I need to go. I need to get back on the thing.
I recognize your voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. This is Amanda Clinton from California State University in Sacramento.
Hi, Amanda. This is Kay Bicey in Seattle.
Hi.
Seattle University.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Amanda. John Lasser here.
Hi, John.
Hi, Stephanie Belt in Texas.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Amanda. Margaret Beebe Frankenberger, Montana.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
I'm Dave Schreiber at Miami University, Ohio.
Great. Nice to meet you.
This is Sue. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Hello.
Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
I heard a couple of people introducing themselves when I logged on here. So can I ask you to do that one more time, please? Dave, I heard your name.
Okay.
Who else is here?
Ken Graff at Seattle University.
Hi, Ken.
Kay Bicey, Seattle University.
Okay.
Margaret Beebe Frankenberger, University of Montana.
Margaret.
Hi, Sue.
John Lasser, Texas University.
Hi, John.
Hi, this is Pat Rohr.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
Texas State University.
Who is it?
Well, I'm a student.
And hi, Sue. I'm Amanda Clinton at California State University in
Amanda?
Sacramento. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. This is Ina. I'm having a terrible time getting into your thing.
Okay, just a minute. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
So we have Dave, Margaret, Ken, Kay, John, Pat, Amanda, Ina.
Oh, I am already in there? They told me that I wasn't.
No, I'm on the phone right now.
Okay.
Who else is here?
This is Chi Lee.
Hi, Chi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Did I get everybody?
Yep.
We have Dave, Margaret, Ken, Kay, John, Pat, Amanda, Ina, Chi.
Yeah.
Did I get everybody?
Stephanie Belt, Texas State University.
Okay. Stephanie, have we met?
No, I don't think so. I'm just with Dr. Lasser.
Great. I'm glad that you're joining us, Stephanie. We have two students from Nebraska. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Carrie Blevin. And I'm Katie McGee.
Okay. I see some of you are on the website,
I am not because I was waiting to get on. Okay, one second.
Okay, for those of you who are not, if you're in front of a computer, let me just try to talk to you real quick because we're going to be sharing some documents this way.
Okay.
If you're in Internet Explorer or Mozilla, whatever kind of server you use or whatever kind of service provider you use, whatever it is, whatever it is, go to Breeze.
I am in Internet Explorer, but do I have http://www and then...
You don't really need that.
You don't need that? Nothing at all?
Don't need all that. Just type in Breeze.
Just E? Just Internet? Just the E word?
The word, Breeze. B-R-E-E-Z-E.
Oh, no, no, but there's an E of email, of Internet that we have in my computer.
No, you don't want email. Just go to, like, Internet Explorer.
That's it. That's what it is. Okay, let me see. Go back here. Okay. Oh, this is not the easiest thing that I do. Let me see. Internet Explorer. Yeah.
Margaret and Dave, you figure out how to send a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a way to post the definitions we came up with?
Not if you haven't sent them to me yet.
Okay.
Why don't you send them to me real quick, and I can try to do it behind the scenes.
Okay.
You know, my E disappears. I'm going to go get Lou Kruger.
Okay.
Yeah, okay?
All righty. Just let us know when you get back. Okay, are the rest of you then, Pat, you're on too, great. What you see in front of you is, and I also sent some documents this morning via email. So if you didn't get online here with this Breeze web-based service, then you can take a look at these same three documents that I sent you this morning. And what we, and this is the first time I'm using this, so bear with me. And I'm not sure it's even going to be essential that we have it, but I just thought we might try it because for future meetings, we may want to have this kind of flexibility and accessibility in working with documents. The document that I'm showing right now is an agenda for today, and I'll try to make it a little bit bigger. Oh, it's a little bit too big.
That's a lot bigger.
Banner.
999% size.
That's good.
Now, let me say, none of these, you won't be able to edit any of these documents or have any control over where we go. If you would like that, let's talk about that. Maybe you later this time or next time. There's all kinds of ways that I could set up different participants in this conference call so that you can have control over what we all see on the screen. Actually, who was it? Margaret, was that you who asked if you could put something up?
Yes, trying to put the name and it disappeared.
And I did
maybe
email it.
Is it down here or up there? Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the agenda for today then. I thought we would just have a really brief update on activities, if there are any updates to provide. The second Roman numeral, definitions of domains. This is the question that we asked at the last meeting that we had in where were we?
California,
Anaheim. That's right. What to include in domains? What is included, for example, in parent education and parent training and homeschool collaboration, etc. Some of you provided definitions already. Ken, you sent me yesterday, and thank you for this. The definitions that you all were working on.
Sure.
Homeschool collaboration.
Yeah.
And I also put some things together based on the mini-series that was in School Psych Quarterly, those articles that we're working from that identified evidence-based practices within the area of family-school partnership. The third thing we'll be talking about is just some thoughts on the development of the modules that you all are working on. including feedback.
You must see this one.
For those of you who have had a chance to look at them and possibly even pilot something. Now, I know they came late in the year, and so it may not have been feasible to really do any formal kind of piloting yet, but
okay,
having that kind of feedback or opportunity to
in your name and enter the meeting room.
And then if, okay. we have update, if we have time, we can talk about some things that came
Out
of the leadership roundtable.
Login here.
Directions for dissemination,
here.
Et cetera.
No, just type in
okay?
Yes, okay. Oh, here I am. We
there you are.
I go. I'm logging in here. Oh, password. What's my password? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
First, let's start with an update. An update on any activities from any of the groups. Anybody want to share any thoughts or updates? As always, please introduce yourself.
So this is Pat.
Hi, Pat.
What we're doing at the state level is we're taking some of our regional meetings. We're reviewing the materials. And then I have an open house at my house that I'm going to have a couple computers set up and everything so that they can play with them and work through them. And then we're talking about doing a formal thing for the membership at large, like at a winter meeting or a special meeting or whatever. But people that have looked at what they've looked at so far are really impressed and see that it would be real helpful at the practitioner level.
Great.
So I'm pleased with the, you know, enthusiasm that they're generating.
That's excellent. And Pat, what kind of time frame are you thinking about then in terms of talking through some of these and maybe even taking them out?
Well, I think what we're going to do is I have a Sunday that I put aside and invited everybody to dinner and, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers in May. So I'll get some feedback then, and then I want to set up some dates in the summer.
Okay.
When, you know, those of us that work in schools tend to be less busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, by fall we will have, you know, at least some of us having worked through, you know, the ones that we have.
Uh-huh.
And as I said tonight, I'm meeting with one of the regions, and it's a small region, but very enthusiastic people, so.
And then come fall, you think you might actually be able to start incorporating some of these things into your work with families?
Yes.
Excellent.
I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah, well, at least there's a goal. That's great. I wonder if it'd be helpful to have some kind of formal way of receiving feedback, input, ideas, you know, things like what works and what doesn't work.
Well,
as people are piloting these.
What I was hoping for, at least amongst the practitioners, is that we tend to use, you know, answer question, you know, type thing and have kind of a formalized thing. So I was trying to develop a more formalized feedback sheet so that we'd have not just people saying, oh, it's good, you know.
Yes.
What parts did they like about it? What was cumbersome, you know?
That would be great. Pat, if you are able to do that, would you mind sharing that with the rest of us?
I'd be glad to.
Maybe start by sending it to me and then I can disseminate it to the group.
Okay.
That'd be great. What about some of the rest of you? Do you have anything to, any updates or work on the task force or on the modules at all that you'd like to share?
This is Margaret Beebe Frankenberger, and since we last talked, I've been in contact with Dennis Moore, who's the executive director of Parents Let's Unite for Kids in Montana. Mm-hmm. It's a state organization, and they just recently submitted a grant that for providing parent information, a resource center. They're a really highly valued and effective organization in Montana that is really good at working with parents on how to work with the schools when they're developing IEPs and those kinds of things. And so I have an appointment with them next week, sit down and discuss this project. And the first thing I wanted to find out is if that would be an agency that I could work with to disseminate some of what we already have. And then the second thing was I was going to propose some kind of contribution to our project to help develop the modules.
Yeah, excellent. Now, what's the name of this group?
It's Parents Let's Unite for Kids. Mm-hmm. And so the acronym is PLUK, P-L-U-K.
Okay.
And the executive director is Dennis Moore.
Great. I think we should think very broadly about possible audiences, particularly because different places, different regions, different states are going to have very different mechanisms for dissemination. Some are going to work better and, you know, some mechanisms will work better in some areas than others. So if that's a group in Montana that would be particularly effective to partner with, I think that sounds wonderful.
And they already have a training to use the statewide interactive TV that they're using.
Uh-huh.
So I think it really would be effective here.
Interactive TV?
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is, you know, that in Massachusetts when we had a project from the state the NSF that we did a lot on television with the Hispanics, we found that actually it was not a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
And if you told them, you know, that you were going to show them on TV at a certain time and send home stuff, and you actually they took to it very easily, which I thought they might not do it, but it was very helpful to do things with them using, you know, high tech and television and, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
And I was wondering, this Montana, do you have any American Indians or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And they will be included in here.
Yes.
Okay, and what is different about them?
Well, of course, their resistance to the historical,
yeah,
the
okay.
history of education. I mean, it's
yeah.
a big, big issue and very difficult.
Okay, good. Okay.
This is John Lasser at Texas State University, and I'm on the preschool task
mm-hmm,
force
mm-hmm.
subcommittee. And I guess I'd like to use this opportunity as a bit of a confessional that this has been easy to put on the back burner.
Especially this time of the year. Yes.
Thank you for the validation.
Yeah.
But Sue's students, Katie Woods, has been really good at keeping me on my toes by
mm-hmm.
sort of emailing me. We've been back and forth and revised a definition of what preschool homeschool collaboration is. And she started a PowerPoint that's fabulous. And I think that we've gotten to a point now where, and with the help of some of my students, and a colleague here, that we're really excited about moving forward now that the semester is sort of coming to an end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that our state association, the Texas Association of School Psychologists, is going to be a great vehicle for getting this across Texas. And one of my colleagues, Dr. Lori Close, is on the board, and we're working closely with TASP to get this out.
Great. She was at NASP, right, at the meeting at NASP?
Yes, she was.
It was great to have her there. We missed you too, John, but it was nice that there was a representative there. So,
yeah.
I'm glad to hear that things are working out with Katie Woods. You know, the reality is that on anything like this, any of these kinds of task forces and work groups, timing is, you know, what works great for somebody might not work
mm-hmm.
as well for somebody else, and that's where the real collective energy becomes so important that if you need to put it on the back burner for now while you get your semester underway, it might be that somebody else has a little bit of time at this point that could pick it up, and then roles might shift a little bit into the future. So,
yeah, and Amanda is on right now, and she's joined the preschool group, and I feel energized and think that we can start
uh-huh.
up and delegating and moving forward. So I'm very optimistic.
That's great. Who is that other person that joined the group?
It's me. It's Amanda.
Amanda, that's right.
And
hi,
I'm
Amanda.
At Cal State. It's been sort of a complicated year for me, but so thank you, John, for being so kind and positive. I'm definitely behind. John's presence validates me, but I would say that here in California, and actually next year I'll be a visiting professor at the University of Puerto Rico.
Oh, you are? Where?
In Mayagüez.
Oh, you should talk to me. My sister lives there, and my niece teaches there, so.
Oh, great. Okay,
yeah,
I will.
Two psychologists that have trained that are there.
Great.
Yeah.
So working with Head Start here at the
mm-hmm.
California is going
mm-hmm.
through some transitions, but with state preschool and universal preschool ideas, but I have been able to touch base with some of those organizations and just kind of put the idea out there as far as any of what, you know, how they could give me information about what preschool home collaboration would look like for them and what they think the needs are in the population. So I'm just getting my feelers out there, but I'm really glad to be part of this and have
Great.
The chance to work with John and Katie.
Okay, anyone else?
Let me, yeah, I just want a little help. Yeah, as you know, I've been working with adolescents and with this group at Duke, and also I am probably writing one of the best practices chapter for NAS, which is going to be on adolescents, families, and schools.
Parents?
Yeah. Parents of adolescent children.
Adolescents, okay.
And the children have to be of diverse backgrounds.
Okay.
But there's not a whole world of research on adolescents out there of any kind. So I have gotten some help from Zalaker, the guy that who's at the University of Florida. He has a fantastic. I am going to begin to get some of his work to you because he's done a lot of work in this area. But I still feel that if you know anybody around that you know knows a lot about adolescents, minority adolescents, diverse adolescents, they can be a black, Hispanic, or Asian. That I would really like to hear about it because I have been looking. I have a lot of stuff, but I still, even when you talk about all the things that you're talking, the reason we need to have all of that in for all these groups, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, right.
So, but anything on adolescents, especially Hispanics and diverse families and schools and their interaction, what they need from each other, what they don't get, what their complaints are, et cetera, that's what we're going to be talking about.
Boy, that'll be a contribution. Why don't we move on then to the next one of the main things that we wanted to talk about today, and that is the definitions of domains, so that everybody is comfortable with what to include in the development of the domains that you're working on. Margaret, was that you who was going to send me something?
Uh-huh, I sent it a while ago.
You sent it.
Yeah.
Okay. I could take a minute and try to pull it up right now. To be honest, I'm not sure what you all are going to see on your screen when I do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing anything. Okay, good. Did you all get things that I emailed you this morning?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Perfectly done.
You know what, Margaret, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to suggest one more thing, though.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to work either.
Can you open your email through the internet?
I'd really like to get that, but I mean, it's going to take me a little bit to try and get it at this point in time.
You ask Ricky to come in here. I'll see if you can just get it off of my email in my office. Ricky, okay, the tech guy.
We're going to get our tech guy to see if he can get my email on continuing to do this meeting. What we had talked about doing when we were together at NAS is to actually, as smaller work teams, come up with some possible definitions that you would begin to use as a format or a framework for your
area.
For your area, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I did receive one from the Homeschool Collaboration Group, which I'm opening right now, but you don't see it here. I've got a laptop with me right here, so I can see what you're seeing.
Okay.
Why isn't that working? You're not seeing anything very... There we go. You can get something off my email in my office. Somebody sent me something and I want to post it.
Okay.
It came from Margaret B.B. Frankenberger. And I have my email up, so it should have come in my inbox.
Okay.
Can you...
You just want me to put it on one of your shared drives so you can access it here?
Sure. That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. This is what we received. Oh, you still don't see it.
It's very small. Yeah.
It's very small.
Well, It's so family school collaboration, some definitions of collaboration.
Yeah, that we have. We got that. Yeah.
And this came from Ken in the work group on family school collaboration.
Oh, great.
Actually, we have to give Aviva Dubani at Seton Hall credit for doing most of this. She's part of that group.
Yeah, and she couldn't make the conference call today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know why we're not seeing it bigger. Ah, I really wanted this to work. All right. We'll try again, but, oh, there we go.
Okay.
This is why.
Okay. Oh, getting bigger. I lost it
somehow.
Got it bigger, but then it disappeared.
Thank you for your patience. This is a test today. This is what Aviva and Ken and the group that's working on the family school collaboration piece came up with. And I think what we see is a range of different types of definitions of collaboration that can really help guide the work of that group.
Very good. Yeah.
Ken, do you want to say anything about this?
Well, sure. We've spent a lot of time looking at the modules you sent, and then also really looking at the evidence-based interventions that the research pieces that were mailed separately. And it's our assumption that the focus of this module is intended to be essentially focused around the evidence-based interventions. Is that how you're viewing this?
Focused around the evidence-based?
Mm-hmm. That essentially that is the focal point of the module itself, is to demonstrate how to use those and perhaps other evidence-based interventions directly in the schools as the models for effective family homeschool collaboration.
Yes.
Okay. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, anything now, you have to do it that way, whether it's family or not. You have to have evidence-based interventions of any kind.
So they're very hard
to get. Yeah.
Yeah, and so when you look at those specific pieces, at least that we have so far, they're rather specific in the nature of the structure of the collaboration that took place, which you would expect in a research study. So the challenge then becomes how to create a teaching module which helps the learner see both the specific nature of what the research says, but also put it in the context of how to build the climate for doing this effectively, how to distinguish this type of activity from consultation and other kinds of things that a school psychologist might do. And then also, we've talked a lot about the barriers or just the reality of the notion of introducing to school practicing school psychologists that they might approach problems through selecting the use of one of these collaborative methods rather than going into the test-in-place sort of scenario, and how to be realistically convincing about that if you take the scenario of somebody that's 100 cases behind.
Yeah.
And so we've really pondered on that, the relevance of how to really truly make this something that somebody could walk away from a workshop and truly use. So that's kind of where we are in our thinking. And that's why we thought, well, we need to start in these definitions by creating a perspective for why we would go here. Why would we go to family school collaboration as a response from a school psychologist to a problem in schools?
The other thing, I appreciate that very much. I think you're hitting on some really important issues.
Yeah.
One thing to reiterate, and Ken, you weren't at the meeting at NASP, but we did talk about many sort of applications of this work, the work of this task force, if you will, the work of this family school partnership task force. thinking that any one of these modules in isolation, whereas we thought originally we might be using some of these in isolation, but if they were utilized in that fashion, they would probably miss the boat in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thought about why we would use collaborative models with families, why we would engage parents more actively in their child's learning, et cetera, is probably going to be covered in some other, is covered in another module.
Okay. All right.
So I guess the thing that we need to continue to ask ourselves is, do we want to repeat that across all the modules? Because I would imagine that everybody, the preschool group, for example, might have the same question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know a lot about early intervention and, you know, how to really help young children in, you know, the earliest learning process that, you know, is to work with them in Head Start or in, you know, these universal type kindergarten programs, but why with parents? Why the family school partnership within preschool? So it's, every module, every domain is going to have a similar kind of question. Do we want to repeat that in each module, or do we want to really look at this as a package where we have a module devoted to an overview on family school partnerships that really explores some of the literature and the research on why it's an important endeavor for school psychologists? So that's just, you know, thought. And we tried to get all the modules out to everybody. Does everybody now have all the modules, the three modules that are developed?
Yes.
Yeah, we do have them.
There we go.
I used one of them in my class very, very successfully.
You have used them, Mina?
Yeah. I mean, the one on the that you did in Boston.
Yep.
The students love it. And the materials that you prepared, it's just easy to, you know, it's really a fantastic idea.
So I don't know if that helps, Ken, but...
Well, that does help. That's part of what we were hoping to get out of this conversation.
Now, right?
And so essentially what we're trying to structure in our thinking is essentially the outline of the module itself, the sequence of the teaching, if you will. And then let me just verify then the assumption that the bulk of this module is going to be then about really looking at those specific research articles, that's the intent, and then really teaching to how to apply those concepts.
That's a very good question. And it may be the research article, or it may be the method of collaboration that has been demonstrated in the literature to be effective. Maybe that's a better way of thinking about it than the research article. What I just put up on the screen is another document that I emailed this morning. And let me talk about what this is. This has an overview first.
Oh, yeah. Here we
go. What I did is I went into the School Psych Quarterly miniseries, and I pulled out the articles that summarized the literature in each of the domains that we are still developing. I didn't do the parent consultation because that one's already completed.
Okay.
And then we have, as you know, the overview of family school partnerships and the sort of the process variables, that climate, that background that's so important if we want to really foster positive, constructive relationships with families. So those three are already done. But as far as the other domains, we still are working on homeschool collaboration, on parent involvement, on parent training and interventions, on parent education, and on preschool. So I pulled from each of the articles definitions that those authors provided for those domains. That might be another place to look to help us define the scope of practices that should be included in each of those domains.
Okay.
And then I went to the last article in that mini-series by Sandy Christensen and Cindy Carlson that we put together, and they stated that specific dimensions or program components within domain areas were noted as particularly effective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most evident are within each domain, here's homeschool collaboration, Ken. Most evident, according to the synthesis of Sandy and Cindy, most evident are the effectiveness of homeschool collaborative interventions that emphasize dialogue about educational programming and two-way communication monitoring of children's school performance.
That's great.
So these three then programs or models. I don't know, you can't see, I'm moving the cursor on, you can't see it, but the next to the check mark, school-based family literacy program, the parent-teacher action research team, and the school home node, are those models that have, that are promising anyway as far as their effectiveness is concerned in terms of literature support, research support.
So, Sue, do you envision, this is Kay in Seattle, do you envision then that the module should start at the more general level of what the elements are in effective homeschool collaboration and then go more specifically to highlight these three as examples of, because I'm unclear whether we're teaching these methods to expect practitioners to go out and adopt the homeschool notes and family problem solving game, or are we teaching, is the focus more on the general elements and principles of effective homeschool collaboration? Or would it be both?
I'd really love to hear people's thoughts on this, okay? Mm-hmm. I think we need to decide that together.
Okay.
Personally, I think probably both. If you look at the consultation module, that is based on the parent consultation article that was in the quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
The conjoint behavioral consultation and parent behavioral consultation were identified as two evidence-based approaches, and there's a lot of, so we have a lot of background in that module on communication skills within within consultation, on, I don't have it in front of me, but, prerequisites and that sort of thing, but then we have a lot of attention given to the conjoint behavioral consultation model and the parent behavioral consultation model,
mm-hmm.
you know, the stages of consultation, how to identify target behaviors, how to operationalize those, how to build together some effective interventions that can be practiced at home and at school as part of that consultation process. So it's some of both. I imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, but I imagine the discussion of general elements, the components, for example, dialoguing about educational programming, two-way communication systems, methods for monitoring children's school performance. I'm looking at some of those components.
Mm-hmm.
That can take quite a bit of time and space to really kind of embellish that. How do you really establish two-way communication with families?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would love us to do some work with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then these school-based programs like the school-based family literacy program, the PCAR, the school home notes. I doubt if you're going to go into nearly as much detail as we did on the consultation one. I don't think we're going to train school psychologists to implement these programs or these models frontwards and backwards.
But yes,
I think there needs to be enough attention to implementation because these are the programs that have been identified as effective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, so it might take some homework just to get more information on these.
Well, that was my thinking, that in order to really effectively teach about any one of these methods, I feel like I would need to be in contact with people who are implementing.
Yeah.
And so that we understand what the issues are in implementation.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if at least
we could try to get enough information so we could describe it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dave Schreiber. It would seem to me that would be, in general, my view would be that would be the most effective use in terms of talking about the research. In terms, if we have a framework that kind of sets a context both for both that's for the specific module that's being developed, so for homeschool collaboration. We've kind of described it, and we have that paragraph that's bold and italic there that really kind of sets the context. Then you could talk about, like, for example, I know a little bit about the PTAR program. You know, that what that describes is like a two-year field study with randomization for first and second graders. And so, you know, for most, and I think that that's a really useful framework. If we talk about it as like, and you should use this exactly in your school, I think that's where we might lose practitioners. If we could describe, okay, well, what were some of the core principles that, that were key to this, like for, you know, that particular one, you know, when the, what those articles talk about is involving parents as equal partners, having some flexibility, using problem-solving process, things like that. That, to me, kind of makes more sense to use research, the research examples as to supplement point, so it's not just like it comes across as if we're just saying this out of nowhere, but as opposed to saying, and you know, go out and do PTAR or the school-based family literacy program or whatever.
Right. Does that help, Kay?
Yes, it does.
I think the other question that we should find a way to explore is when to apply these.
Say more about that, Ken.
Well, is this a, are we going to suggest that these are a pre-referral intervention that a school psychologist might initiate with a team? Is there a training component to a student services team in the school that they might entertain problem solving that is that, around a student by selecting one of these methods? And are the outcomes here in this research, is it strong enough as an evidence-based intervention to make the case that that this is an intervention that you would put in place in lieu of a referral, an evaluation?
Well,
that's a powerful question.
Well,
yes.
Well, I think we need to be careful about that, too, because we don't know enough about all these, at least I don't know enough about all the different programs. Now, for example, I will say that consultation is often used that way. And, you know, we have, there's research to suggest that that is an effective method for pre-referral intervention that could preclude the then subsequent, you know, special education process. And then some of the other ones are designed specifically for that purpose. For example, as you look at parent education, well, let's see. Parent education one.
Well, as you're looking, let me just throw one last point to that. I believe the context of this effort is in futures work for vision of how school psychologists might practice in the future. And
okay, that's good.
And so I think that it essentially is part of our message to suggest that this is an alternative to test in place.
No, I don't think so.
Well, unless you have it, you know, the issue that you were called in is has to do with parents not being involved, not coming to, you know, not child not coming to school, not coming to their meetings, going to the house and they close your door. I think, frankly, a lot of these things can be used. It's a lot of how you phrase it. But we are going to end up doing a lot of these as interventions because, you know, who's going to do it? You know, and also because I think this is a lot more effective than some of the things that we do. And they're all effective. So it's kind of what is the choice? I can think of some of the parents, you know, the Hispanic parents that don't know a lot about the culture. These interventions are extremely helpful because nobody, schools are not doing this. So sometimes we do what they are not doing, and sometimes we do what they're doing better. But definitely I do think these parent interventions, if they're tested a little more and you do pre and post and so on and you follow them, that you will see a lot of them being used because kids are not learning that much in school and people, and we need them to learn. And that's a national problem and it's going to be, you know, it's gets, you know, worse and worse.
You know, when we give case examples in the different modules, that might be an opportunity to talk about this too. With any example we might use, you could talk about different approaches a person might take, including maybe a more traditional approach or different context. What if you have 100 referrals waiting for you? What if you don't? Kind of thing.
Right. I think we don't, I don't know that it's going to be helpful to sort of pit this against other things that school psychologists have to do. I think we're trying to promote this as a way of thinking about our professional practice, that we think about families first and foremost. We engage parents whenever possible. We do things, we conduct all of what we do in ways that are going to be inviting and responsive and validating with families and teachers and educators, so that everyone who's involved in the education of that child has a voice and has a role and is proactive.
This is John. I think that's a great reframe, and instead of thinking in terms of, instead of, it should often be thought of in terms of in addition to, or maybe even greater family involvement in a traditional kind of assessment process.
Right.
And
very good.
So, yeah, I'm in line with that.
And this is Margaret. I'd like to add, too, that school psychologists are trained to be a resource to the building principal or the district, and so it might not be that they would implement, for instance, aware parenting, but they would know enough about it. They could say there is something we could do school-wide, you know, and they may not be the implementers, but they may suggest it and help get it started.
Yeah, knowing what kinds of interventions are effective, have some evidence to support their efficacy, I think is a really important thing for school psychologists to have in our knowledge base, to have in our toolkit, to be able to promote. I'm sorry, I cut somebody off there.
I agree. I think, first of all, we need the general training and orientation of our current school psychologists and future school psychologists with family collaboration in mind and value family input support and their perspective. On the other hand, we urgently need another line of work is to validate. We need to provide more evidence and validation of various programs.
Right.
So on the one hand, the thinking, the orientation helps. On the other hand, when people need, we have something specific. But we do, yet at this point, the modules and things, including of the multicultural one we wrote, also need various kind of either case study one or program trial or pilot work or controlled empirical study to provide more research base.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and also that was a good point of the whole thing, that there were very few studies that were cited on this journal and whole journal on families that had minorities in their samples, and they were, and I'm sure it's because there's not that much of it. But it wasn't, I was just amazed, because I know that Cindy does a lot of work in this area. But, except Comer and so on, we need to work more and more on this area. And that might be something that first made me interested in doing something, because they really need to be helped, the parents in particular.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've started, you put together a PowerPoint presentation, and I know you have other documents from other sources. If we could start compiling those.
Yeah.
Into a standalone module, I think that would be very, very, very helpful. Even if we don't have
evidence,
a huge research base, we still need to consider that as a really important variable and something, or a really important reality, I should say, and something that we really need to attend to in our work with families. So.
I think
modules will look a little bit different, I guess, and that's okay. I mean, we want some continuity, but there's a lot of differences in terms of where the literature is in these different areas, so we have to be, reactive to that, too.
Yeah, I just want to apologize. So recently, Ina and I have been extremely busy. We haven't really done much furthering our previous work. One thing I thought we would continue is, on the one hand, to have the presentation I do, the international one, on the other hand, is in my...
This conference will end in 10 minutes.
Okay.
On the other hand, is in Massachusetts teachers one, that's a statewide conference to share this and also get teachers' input on this.
Great.
Meanwhile, I think the next step is conduct a validation study and case study on using what we proposed in the paper.
Okay,
well,
but
that's going to be maybe validation studies.
As far as our work as a task force, is the more we can get materials together,
yeah.
put them together into some training modules,
okay.
and disseminate them. I mean, studies will be happening hopefully more and more as this whole area becomes much better represented.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we still have an obligation to try and get what we know out there to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really the main objective of this task force.
Mm-hmm.
So... just keep an eye, you know, on trying to do that as well.
Yeah.
So does this, I mean, I'll go back to what's on the screen right now. Does this help in terms of providing a scope? I pulled these from the articles themselves, because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
this is what the authors use
yeah.
as a framework for going into the literature and identifying what is effective. And so for example, in homeschool collaboration, these are some of the key terms or phrases that they use to define the scope of their search. And then what they found is that these three programs were particularly efficacious. For parents' involvement, we have parent tutoring, parent PET, and reciprocal peer tutoring with parent involvement. Obviously, I mean, and then there's summaries on the research base for each
mm-hmm.
of these in your modules.
Yeah.
Parent training, and parent education. We had talked at NASP about maybe combining these two areas.
Mm-hmm.
And really the main difference is that one is more of a tertiary level of support, if you will, parent training, once a child is already exhibiting some difficulties like behavioral, you know, problems, versus parent education, which is more prevention oriented. So those could be easily combined for the group that's doing that. And then preschool children has some very well established programs that have shown to be effective. Carolyn Webster Stratton's programs,
mm-hmm.
the Incredible Years Training Series, Partners is another Carolyn Webster Stratton program, and PCIT, extremely, you know, well developed, very well operationalized too. Now in these areas, we really could provide more details as far as implementation, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Are you familiar with those programs?
Yeah, and we could get students to do dissertations on these things.
This is Amanda in California. I'm very familiar with Carolyn Webster Stratton's work, and I've actually been doing a lot of research on Second Step, which also has a preschool module, and includes a family guide. And I think they're wonderfully done,
mm-hmm.
really lovely
mm-hmm.
programs. There are significant challenges in a lot of ways, and
mm-hmm.
I guess they're, you know, universal prevention programs, but I'm a little bit... uncertain then, and you know, I'm relatively new at this. Are we looking at? Because actually, that's the case. There are prevention programs from preschool through adolescence, which are actually Botvin's work is very well supported,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And things like Second Step go through elementary school. PAVS is another one, but they're not necessarily structured to facilitate parent-school collaboration as
right.
as kind of a, I don't know, a philosophy
mm-hmm.
of the way the school works, be it at the community level, school
mm-hmm,
level, classroom,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
individual,
mm-hmm.
professional level. So are we looking across all those levels, or do you want, you know, more specific prevention-oriented curricula that are geared toward teaching children and then facilitating parent learning of the skills they're teaching children and social skills and problem solving and that kind of thing?
Well, I think it depends on what you're working on.
They're very different. Okay.
I mean, if you're working with the preschool, you're working with the preschool group, right?
Right.
which is different than the family school collaboration, the homeschool collaboration group, which really is about that two-way partnering. The collaboration module should really focus on programs that wouldn't include Second Step, for example, because that really isn't about families and school partnering. It's about having a parent component to a very well-established violence prevention program or social skills development program, correct?
That it's the same thing. Incredible. Yours is parent training for behavior management, and the family component for something like Second Step basically teaches parents how to use the skills at home that they're trying to teach kids and teachers to use in the classroom.
Right.
That's good.
Right. So, but you wouldn't put that under homeschool collaboration, which I have on the screen right now. You could put it somewhere else in a different module. You see what I mean? All
sure.
of this is not about just really strengthening the relationship between families and schools. I mean,
it's any
family
published evidence-based program. Well, I would actually argue if Incredible uses there, something like PAS and Second Step should also be there, but because they have parent aspects in the same way Incredible Years was taught to me at their training to be used with parents and families. But I guess basically then we...
Oh, wait a second. Wait. It's taught to be used with parents and families, right? So you said...
Parents and children.
Yes.
Well, you train parents how to manage their children's behavior.
Like mm-hmm. a parent training. It's like a parent training. It's a parent training program. Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what Second
program.
Step includes. Uh-huh.
And lots of those.
Mm-hmm. But I think the difference, Amanda, I think the reason Second Step isn't there and PAS isn't there is because the preschool aspect is really not, at least on the, they
mm-hmm.
have, it
mm-hmm.
extends down to kindergarten and maybe some preschool. I know Head Start here in Lincoln is using Second Step.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really, it's more of an elementary program, I mm-hmm. think. And I don't know, I mean, we'd have to go back and reread the articles in the School Psych Quarterly to see why they didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
But I
yeah, because they have a preschool
clear,
version. So anyway,
had,
I guess my question is really bigger than that. So just to get a sense of, because I as somebody who spends 2 days a week in a local preschool,
mm-hmm.
I think the program, you know, which is a Head Start preschool in here in Sacramento, extremely diverse.
You
having
bet.
Used Incredible Years with very diverse families
yes.
and most of the methodology. And I know Carolyn would argue that if it's not being implemented right, if it's not effective with Hmong or Hispanic, or I'm not sure that I would say that that's necessarily the case, I think. So my question is really, but long before you get to these specific programs, is I think that even if my goal ultimately is an Incredible Years training series, is that without a broader family school philosophy at a preschool level, that you're not going to have parent participation. So that my question is just kind of, and excuse my ignorance if it's because I'm sort of just getting into the work group, but it's what in what kind of level should we be looking at this? Because providing a list of available programs is good information, but I wonder if
exactly
there are
right.
significant barriers long before they get to
exactly
that.
Exactly right, and mm-hmm. that and that needs to come out for sure. That was why we have not disseminated any of this yet, because we don't want people just to think it's just a laundry list
mm-hmm.
or a menu of things to select from. We have a whole module on creating an environment for family involvement. Now,
that's
it might
wonderful.
Not be specific to Head Start or preschool, so you might want to do that as part of what you're doing in this module. But absolutely, we share that. I share that same philosophy. It's not just sort of plopping a program down onto a classroom or into an agency.
Amanda, this is John. I think we should build that into our module. I think that'd be extremely helpful.
Okay.
We may yeah. get cut off here in just a couple of minutes.
Oh.
And I'll follow up with an email. But Margaret, I was able to get to your email, but I know I can't get it to show on the screen. So I apologize.
I'll send it to us later.
I think if I could just say one thing, this is Margaret. With the parent involvement module, we did do a definition. Lisa
mm-hmm.
and I worked on this, and it varies somewhat from what you summarized from the domains from the miniseries. We used all the definitions that were in the article, and actually...
This conference is now over. Goodbye.